Hello and welcome to the December 11th edition of LAN Party. That's local area network party for you straights out there.
Oh, did you hear that? Did you guys hear that? Who was that? Was that Robert Ashley? Robert? Oh, is that
Robert?
You?
Yes. Hello.
Oh my God, he's here.
Oh my God.
I'm here and I'm throwing a ball against the wall.
And people are going to be so happy that
you should probably stop doing that because our copy chief sits right out there. And
I want him to come in and get really angry.
No, you really don't. That's not.
No, we're on good terms.
So
he wouldn't get mad at me. I'd be like, it was Ryan, and he'd attack you like a bear and rip your jugular out.
Wow.
So you're our host.
I am Ryan Scott, your host, and as always, I apologize for everything you're about to hear in the next hour or so.
Right
and,
on.
With me, in addition to Robert Ashley making a spectacular comeback, is
Matt Chandernay.
Also making a spectacular comeback, right?
Yeah, he's been MIA.
Is it spectacular?
Dude. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Could you do
I'm down with that.
A little more style, please. Like we need spectacular.
I'm Matt Chandernay coming back to the LAN party, December 11th, 2008.
That's more like it.
All right.
And Tina Sanchez, hello.
Hello.
And then Anthony rounds it out.
Nice.
By being fat. Let's talk about people that have sent us shit.
Yes, let's do that.
Thanks,
okay.
Guys. You're awesome.
So, let's see. The
Who
first,
do we got first?
The first package.
Jeff Jong sent us a bunch of candy.
He did.
From Canada, as well as a bunch of healthy snacks because I had asked for them. So
good
thanks,
guy.
Jeff. I lost your letter, though.
I love healthy snacks.
Yeah, and inside his package, one of my favorite candies from Europe was in there from Kinder. It's called Bueno.
Wow, that looks good. Can I try one?
Yeah.
Bueno.
Yeah, they're
bueno.
So good. I haven't had one in a long time, and it just totally made my day.
Thank
you.
I don't remember what this kid sent, James Lockwood.
He
sent it to Mr. Scott. Yeah. Do you remember what was in here, Ryan? I don't remember. What did we eat? I forgot. There was a bunch of delicious things. But
what? You didn't share it with the rest of us?
Yeah.
I think, we added it to this box.
Yeah,
I just don't remember what it was.
I want to read this guy's letter.
Okay, read it.
He says, "Dear Mr. Scott, my name is James Lockwood, and I am president of one of the most powerful video gaming groups on Facebook.
Ooh.
The joystick.com podcast appreciation group. That's JPAG. With almost 2,000 members, we have close to double the one of readership.
What?
And,
oh man.
And, which I can verify is not true. And we
it's
also
totally true.
We
Don't
also
lie.
We also have a girl.
Oh shit, they have a girl.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But
wow.
the downside is it's Tina.
Shut up. You're so mean to me.
Her name is Marie. She likes D&D and is totally geekier than Tina.
That's
probably true, but
cower before my leetness, my 1337-ness.
That's what the guy said?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That he has a girl that's dorkier.
He's stepping
than me.
To you, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I send this English candy with air quotes around candy as a gesture of goodwill. Please pimp the JPAG. It's not just for joystick fans, but it is, really. Message
wow.
ends. He actually types message ends.
I think he sent these...
That's awesome.
I think he sent these bourbon things that I'm eating, which I thought would be kind of chocolatey, but they're actually entirely bourbon-flavored.
Really?
Like you're just taking a shot?
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Not even really sweet. It's just kind of like... bread and bourbon.
I can already hear the people bitching about the crinkling sounds and the eating on air.
Whatever.
Dude, right, it's tradition.
So final letter comes from Dan Dimer, who sent the special package out to Ryan. Dear Ryan Scott and LAN Party crew, upon hearing of your love for Cactus Cooler, the greatest soda on God's green earth, I felt obliged to send you folks some. Then I forgot to. End of first paragraph. Anyway, better late than never. Drink it in good health, preferably on the show, though I understand if Ryan hoards it. It is, after all, the sweetest of the desert's nectars. Dan Dimer. P.S. Please excuse my handwriting, capitalization, and overall ability to write formal letters. I was homeschooled for 10 years.
Aww.
That was a perfectly awesome letter.
Yeah.
There's one.
Cactus Cooler.
Ryan did share.
Thank you, Ryan Scott.
Hold on. Before you open a second one, Tina, let's use one can and determine if any of us like it before we waste another can, because at least we can save it for Ryan if we hate it.
True.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of throwing it in Ryan's face if I didn't like it.
Dang.
I'm just kidding.
No, he'd like that too much.
Here you go.
Like that? Did you guys see that video that was going around about the two Romanian politicians who were on the news and debating each other? One of them, it was like a guy and a girl, and the girl spills her water into the guy's lap, and then the guy takes his water and throws it into her face.
Really?
And while it's really funny to watch, when you read about it, it's even funnier because you find out that what happened was the guy compared the girl's face to a bidet.
Oh my god.
And then you're like, wow, politics in America really isn't that fucked up at all, now that I think about it.
All right.
It's very civilized. Cheers.
All right, cheers to the cheers. Cactus cooler.
Yay.
Yay, here we go.
I think it's pretty good.
I think it could use a little more carbonation, but I like the creamsicle-ness.
I can tell by Matt's face that he's like not a fan.
I am not a fan of soda in general, but I will say that amongst the sodas, which I hate, this is one that I hate the least.
It kind of tastes like Sunkissed and Sprite mixed together. A little bit.
I just like sugar.
So I'm going to take a bite of this Big R Turkish Delight / Lucum.
Full of hash.
Full of hash, as Turkish Delight often is.
Yeah.
And
I'm not touching it.
It's got like
berries
inside or something.
Isn't Turkish Delight the thing that the kid asked the queen for in Chronicles of Narnia?
Yes.
We got some Narnia treats.
This thing's crazy.
It's like jelly with chocolate.
It's like a chocolate-covered gummy bear.
God, we should just rename this the Candy Racket Podcast. Because that's what it is.
Candy Party.
I wanted to mention the package that I just opened up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's not a LAN party package.
That is true. Okay, I will mention it.
You should save it for your blog in all of its glory.
That's
look
true.
For, you guys should check out Tina's blog, because she's going to have a picture going up of the crazy fucking birthday present someone sent her. It's a little bit ridiculous.
It's Tina's birthday today.
Yeah, that's right. Happy birthday, Tina.
Thank you.
Wow.
Do you want me to sing you happy birthday in the chicken voice?
Yeah.
I just like to point out.
Can we turn off his mic? Can we please turn off his mic?
His face is all red.
All right.
Sorry. Okay.
I was getting protests.
Okay.
I was trying to express myself as a chicken.
So Robert's been kicking it old school with video games lately.
Yeah.
You have been, dude. How's that good old games treating you? I like that service.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it was. I think what happened was a couple weeks ago, I went into GameStop and I traded in some old shit that I didn't want, and I looked for like 15 minutes for a game that I hadn't played that came out this season, and I did not find one because I have played everything, and that makes me the supreme dork. But I guess I was starting to get bored with my non-gaming, and I decided to download the original Fallout. Which is cool because I didn't grow up with PC games at all, like PCs, blah, blah, blah. Oh, let me see. Closer?
Yeah.
Hi,
closer.
Do I?
You're good.
Is that more intimate?
Yes.
Do you feel like you know me better now?
I do.
Like you're whispering into my ear.
Yeah.
Giving me shivers on the back of my neck.
Oh, Chef, I love your curly hair.
Wow.
But yeah, so I started, you know, it's kind of weird to play a game like Fallout having grown up with console games, because it's like an alternative universe, an alternative history of games for me.
Mm.
And I can see why maybe I wasn't really attracted to that stuff when I was a kid, because I was a real spaz. And I always needed stuff that had sort of direct interaction. Like, I needed to have the feeling of, like, I'm beating somebody up! Or whatever, you know?
Right.
And Fallout has that sort of PC remove. Which is funny, that's the thing that I like about it now. I kind of enjoy the archaic interface. I mean, I would imagine some people would play it and feel like, oh my god, it's so slow, I'm going to die. But I kind of like the pace of it and the waiting for the action to unfold and all the grisly death animations.
I was going to say, you played Fallout 3 with the VAT system almost entirely, right? So, I mean, this is still kind of like...
Yeah, although it's different.
Well, it's a it's a tactical isometric, thing, turn based.
Yeah, although RPG. I find myself utilizing the same tactics, like instead of
run away till you have action points and then use them.
Yeah, well, no, not so much that, but you know, I would always pull the I'm going to stand behind this car and wait for someone to come around the corner so I can blow their fucking head off. Instead, like, I always do the thing, you know, where you bust open the door and shoot someone, and then everyone comes and lines up behind the door.
Yeah.
Because only one person can be in the door at any given time. So you kind of never get surrounded if you take the right position. So there are all kinds of little things like that to play with. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of appreciating it. Maybe not on the level of people who grew up with it. Like, I have a friend who, you know, was one of these kids who Fallout was kind of their ultimate game growing up. And when I talk to him about it, he's always talking about it as if it were such a brutal and kind of adult, scary game. And that doesn't survive at all in any way. Yeah. Like, it doesn't shock me. It doesn't feel terribly dark or anything. If anything, it's a
campy.
Feels fairly light compared to Fallout 3. Almost in a way that I wish Fallout 3 had a little bit more lightness to it.
Well, I went back and played that when Fallout 3 was announced.
Yeah.
And I think they were going to do Fallout on Retronauts or something like that. So I went back and I played Fallout 1 and 2. And I played all the way through Fallout 1. I cheated my way through Fallout 2. But yeah, Fallout 1, I got that same feeling. It was like, at the time, this seemed like such an adult and mature game. And playing it now, it seems like it's, you know, it's written by some sci-fi fanboys. But even worse, though, is Fallout 2. Fallout 2 was like sex, violence, sex, sex.
Oh, really?
Violence.
That sounds good. I like sex and violence. although the writing in some places still holds up, I can kind of see why it has a reputation for having been a cool storytelling experience. The other day I was playing and I'd gotten to the Necropolis section, which is this sort of a long, you're hunting for your water chip for your vault. And there's this moment where you meet up with super mutants for the first time, and there's this guy, Harry, standing in the doorway where you need to get past him. And when you walk in the door, he starts talking to you, and you have to either fight him or talk your way out of, talk him into thinking that you are a mutant. Or the third option is that you can tell him to take you to his leader. And I chose that option, and it was kind of crazy to me how elaborate that branch was, because you end up being taken back to their headquarters somewhere. I don't know, maybe later in the game you find out what that is, but you're forced to give up the location of Vault 13, and then when I gave it up because I was about to die, I was surprised by how elaborate the scene that they showed was. Like, they showed this whole, like, you know, 4-minute scene of super mutants raiding Vault 13 and killing everyone brutally, like executing people in the hallway.
All because of you.
All because of me.
Were you the guy that, when you played Metal Gear Solid, you gave in to the torture?
No, because I have an amazing stamina for button pressing, which Chuff is well aware of. You know the button pressing test that we used to...
Yeah, you do. Like naturally... ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I'm a fast button presser, let me tell you.
What's your 16 shot rating?
He can basically do like between 11 and like around 11 shots a second. Wow. That's him right
now. Wow. That's pretty incredible, Robert, actually.
I feel like that might be my only athletic skill in life.
So having played Fallout 3, do you think like the guys at Bethesda did a good job of like keeping it real, like to like what Fallout 1 was like about, you know, because a lot of people were totally like, when they heard Bethesda was taking it, were like, oh, it's going to be totally fucked over, like, it's not going to be anything like Fallout should be.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised actually by how much they did take from the original game. It almost, I could see coming from having played the original Fallout to playing Fallout 3, there being very little surprise to it. It's kind of weird how much it mimics the original game, even where some things are in the world, like the military stuff is up in the northwest, like it is in the same map and everything.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, funny. And I would just notice all these similarities. But in general, I think what's cool about it is they managed to take the very excellent intro movie and take some of the style from that and get it in the game with the music and that sort of ruined post-war America thing that doesn't actually come through in the original Fallout when you're playing it. It's like this, when you first pop it in, you watch this really cool opening scene where they're, you know, playing this nice old jazz music and you're watching the ruined world, and it has this particular feeling that games like Bioshock picked up on.
Right.
And And I think Fallout 3 managed to get that, like, you know, throughout the game. But yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed Fallout 3 a lot. I think I'll actually go back and play more of that. But I'm digging on this sort of lo-fi version.
Yeah. How much was it?
$5. Dang. $5.99. And I installed it, like, once you buy it, it just sits in your account, and you can download it as many times as you want.
So it's like Steam in that sense?
Yeah. Yeah, except it doesn't, like, you don't have to connect to the internet or anything. It's actually sick. All it is like, it's like a file download site. Like, you download it, it's your file, do whatever the fuck you want with it.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I already put it on my laptop and everything. Runs great on my laptop, of course.
That's a good call, yeah. I have not that decent of a laptop, but I bet you would run that just fine.
I guarantee that it would.
Yep. Wow, that's awesome. I've been playing Fallout 3, too, because I finally got my PC together and working.
Yeah.
And it was a giant fucking hassle, but it happened. It took like 3 days
of me playing tech support on AIM.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony and Alice were playing tech support on AIM, and it's like I ended up having to go through a whole process to get my BIOS to update, and did my Windows recovery and everything like that to get my processor working. But now it's fucking up and it's awesome, and I can play Fallout at full 1920 by 1200 or whatever it is, and at ultra high settings.
And more importantly, you did it yourself.
I did.
There's something to be said about that.
And it with only a lot of took you like 3 months.
Here, high five.
Yeah.
And it's nice too because the RAM he got, like, because the economy is so crappy, cost him like next to nothing.
It was $50 for 4 gigs.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So
that's so crazy.
And it's good RAM.
My first computer had 4 megs of RAM.
Mine too.
4 fucking megs. And
wow.
That was like the
mine first
good,
had 256K.
Yeah.
That's what I was running Doom
My
on
EP
back in the day.
Is way bigger than yours now.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, and Matt was able to build that computer. Granted, he got a motherboard out of me, but he was able to build it for like less than 600, wasn't it?
No, it was 660.
Oh, okay. But still, I mean, Matt has like a very top tier current computer.
Yeah. While I was working on it, while I was trying to get it working, I'm like, man, this fucking sucks. Like, if I had the money, I would seriously go out and just buy a pre-built PC that has everything in it that I want just so it could work. And,
right.
You know, that's the total attractive thing about consoles is that, like, you don't have to mess with any of this shit. It just happens. But, like, once I actually got it done and got everything done with, I'm like, I am a god. It's like,
wow.
It's just like beating the original Ninja Gaiden for the NES.
Yeah.
You know, it's like such a fucking triumph.
So PC game or PC building is a game in and of itself.
Yeah, basically. Only it's a game that can potentially cost you hundreds of dollars when you fry your circuits.
You just compared building a PC to beating Ninja Gaiden.
I did.
I have still to this day never beaten Ninja Gaiden without the aid of emulators.
Okay, to be honest, I didn't beat it either. I was only there when one of my friends beat it.
That's so.
Do you mean
like
by the aid of emulators? Do you mean like you're constantly saving
save state?
Yeah,
for the final gauntlet of bosses. Yeah, that was what I could never do.
Speaking of PCs, I just wanted to give our LAN party listeners a tease. I'm setting up a contest right now with the guys that did Fear 2, and they want to give out a PC and. The MSRP on that's like $3,000.
Yeah, it's probably got like dual SLI cards and 8 gigs of RAM running Vista Ultimate. And I am
not eligible for. I am an employee.
Robert's eligible. He's the only person that is eligible.
I'm not an employee. Sign me up.
I got all the specs
times.
Right here too.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's all about the specs.
Yeah, if you got the specs, you should just read off the highlights.
Here, you want to do it?
Yeah, I'll read off the highlights.
Here you go.
Do it in an exciting way.
All right. It's got an Intel Core i... Oh, fuck. This is actually kind of exciting. It's got an Intel Core i7, which is like the new processor that they just released. So it's a 2.93 gigahertz with an 8 megabytes of cache. So that sounds like 8 megabyte cache is like a big deal. Like mine only has 4. So that's like... Basically, this thing's like... That's like one of the top... That's probably like... Insane. The processor alone is probably like $600 right now.
Wow.
Then it's got a... It's an Alienware case, which of course I'm sure looks ridiculous with crazy lighting. Yeah.
I hate them.
Then it's got a 1,000-watt, it's got a kilowatt power supply, which is probably actually needed because of everything that's in it. And then it's got a single...
Of the Mother Earth.
It's got... It's got it only has one graphics card, right? But the single graphics card it does have has DDR5 RAM, and it's a Radeon HD 4870 X2, which means it's basically like two cards in one card, kind of. It has two processors built in. Then it has 6 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM at 1066 megahertz. So that's pretty rad. That's better than most people are buying. Most people buy 800 megahertz RAM.
I just want to know if it has hydraulics. can you make it like
ground effects,
dance and bump and stuff?
Vista Home Premium.
I got to say that this cactus cooler is growing on me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So
and it's got all and then it has all the standard bells and whistles after that, right. But I mean just that alone, that whoever gets that computer is going to be set up for years
for
to come.
A while. Yeah.
And plus, I mean everything on there is upgradable too. That is an excellent computer.
Listeners will appreciate.
Yeah, so you guys should keep an eye out for when Tina actually makes that contest go live, and then enter the crap out of that. Because
click, cha-ching! You're totally gonna win. Click on this page as many times as you can.
I don't think it's gonna be like that. I'm actually still trying to figure out what kind of contest I should have.
Yeah.
But I do want it to be.
Jesus.
I do want to give favorite to LAN party listeners, definitely.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how that works.
You gotta know like the secret word to enter.
That should be how it is.
Oh,
you have to listen to a podcast.
Good idea.
And when Robert says I don't know.
Yeah, we'll do it like a radio morning contest.
So when?
Like when Robert mentions the Gettysburg Address, call in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but it has to be related to fear, too. So
I, too, have been playing a bunch of old games lately.
If you're afraid of the Gettysburg Address.
Because I got a Steam Press account, finally.
Nice.
As the PC editor here, finally was able to get one, thanks to Ryan Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Sweet.
Ryan Scott laid down his authority boot and was like, that's not how it happened at all. We just got really lucky, and Doug responded to an email, Doug Lombardi at Valve.
Yeah.
But yeah, since then I've been checking out a bunch of games I hadn't missed. I haven't had a chance to play them yet, but I know, and it makes me sound like such a child because I kind of am, I guess. I'd never played any of the XCOM games.
Yeah.
So I downloaded all those. I'm kind of excited to try those out.
I haven't played those since they first came out way back when.
Fucking difficult,
that would be fun.
Man. I downloaded the original XCOM from Steam when it came out. When it came out on Steam.
Right.
And it's so hard. I mean, compared to Fallout, I was sort of into it, and I actually sat down and spent, an hour and a half reading the entire manual.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah, because I was trying to figure it all out. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous to people who grew up with this stuff, but
no, man, I
grew up with Super Mario Brothers. Give me a break.
Well, back in the day, I think I actually played XCOM. That was back in when I thought I didn't have to read manuals for anything.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure I never beat that game, and that's probably why.
Yeah.
For the youngins listening out there, can you explain what XCOM is?
Oh, I don't know yet. I haven't really had a chance to play it.
It's basically like Hannah Montana meets Aliens.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a very accurate description.
If you take one part Jonas Brothers, one part Hannah Montana, and one part Pokemon.
He's really explaining it to the young people.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And if you, in like one of these bands of like skinny guys with the tall hair, and they play the annoying songs.
And the tight jeans.
And the tight jeans, yeah. And the songs are all about how they're like really tough guys, but they, on the inside they feel.
Yeah. That's XCOM in a nutshell.
I think I'm sorry we deviated.
It also has aliens.
No, it's like this kind of crazy, very ambitious in scope game about where you're work for this agency, and which I guess you can be in any country you want to be. You can be in the U.S. or in any other part of the world. Mm-hmm. Who is studying the alien threat? Basically, you're part of some shadowy government organization.
You're the Men in Black.
Yeah, who knows that aliens are watching us, and they're constantly invading our airspace.
Uh-huh.
And so it's one part this sort of simulation, building game where you're making your headquarters and installing all this new equipment so you can detect aliens better, and
uh-huh.
and buying new weapons and planes to intercept UFOs and stuff, and then.
Wow, that's so funny. I forgot about all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the thing that people think of most is that, once you build all that stuff, you detect these aliens and you shoot them down on a world map, which is really lo-fi. It's like, it looks...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like DEF CON or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go down on the ground and try to recover the alien technology and find the bodies and stuff so you can dissect them.
And that's how it becomes turn-based strategy.
Yeah, and it's like you and you know, six or seven soldier guys who you equip
versus like the surviving enemy aliens.
Yeah, and it's turn-based and it's fucking unbelievably difficult. Man, I was having a real tough time. I think I got through like three crash sites and was like, I'm too old for this.
Yeah, I want to try that. And there's like a bunch of old games. Like, that's the thing about PC games. Like, just on 1UpFM, they were like looking up the other day, like 10 years ago, what was coming out mm-hmm. for Christmas and stuff.
Holy crap.
And it was like StarCraft, like Fallout. It was like all these like big games, like, but like none of them, not one, was a console game.
Right.
All the big games are PC games. And it's kind of like, there's like a ton of old games I mean to play. Like, did you guys ever play like a giant Citizen Kabuto? That is a fantastic game, no one ever played it.
What is it?
It's like a PC game. It's like very tongue in cheek British humor, and it's about like a you play as these three aliens who are like just kind of beer swilling, like drink a bunch of booze, and there's kind of done. But then there's also this giant that you play as, and there's also this girl who's like trying to wield power over the giant. I don't know. It's like, You switch off between all these three characters, and it's like a... So sometimes it's like a 3D platformer, sometimes it's like a shooter, and then sometimes it's like this... You're playing like Godzilla-type levels. I don't know.
Yeah,
I remember the game, and I remember they had to censor the girl.
They did, yeah, because she basically
she
is...
She had nipples.
Yeah, she doesn't wear clothing. Yep. So,
and then they had to censor it before they released it. Yeah.
What kind of game is it? I can't even...
It's like a 3D action game, yeah. Third-person action, almost all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about playing like old PC games. I was playing Fallout, I get the sense that there was this time when you could have sort of made a game about anything, and that was okay. Like, there was a lot of experimentation, even with a character. Like, nowadays, you couldn't really make a game... I mean, I guess Bethesda gets around that by making these games where you have elaborate character creation, but if you're going to make a game based around a character, it's got to be, you know, a semi-handsome, rugged guy.
It's true. I mean, yeah, people always criticize, like...
Character design?
Yeah, it was like Fracture. They changed the character of that, like, three different times because every time they would preview it, everyone would, like, talk shit about the way the guy looked or something. They'd be like, oh, we got to change it.
Oh, we got to come up with a new big, tough bag.
Did you ever get to see his first design?
Yeah.
Can you describe it?
Oh, it was just, like, not quite Space Marine enough.
It was a guy with a vanilla ice haircut.
I mean, it's just, like, it's just, like, the way, like, if you go look at the early designs they did for Gordon Freeman, like, we talked about, like, he was, like, a big truck, like, had a big fucking beard and stuff like that, and he wasn't, like Robert said, he ended up being, like a semi-handsome, like, very short-term beard, very clean-cut-looking guy.
Mm. Although Gordon Freeman's, like, on the very edge of...
He is. They still kept, like, something that isn't your standard hero. Yeah. That's
the glasses
true.
And stuff.
At least doesn't have muscles. At least he's, a science nerd.
Right. You
know? But I just don't know if you could, you know, if you could go around making any kind of scenario you want to in a game nowadays and get away with it.
But I think that Gordon Freeman... Like his character definitely fits like within the story, you know, like who he's supposed to be and stuff. Like, I wouldn't understand if, you know, they had some like bulky ass dude and it was like, you know, Mirror's Edge type style game or something.
It also helps that you don't see him, because I think what people have problems with nowadays when they make these big action games is you make a normal looking guy and then it's kind of ridiculous. It's sort of like, you know, Uncharted, the PS3 game. They really tried to make... You know, all along they're saying they're trying to make a fairly average guy
who stumbles and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Even though he kind of looks like a soap opera star,
right?
He does have the proportions of a regular man, but when you play the game, it becomes kind of ridiculous. It's like, okay, this regular guy is leaping from building to building and shooting like 40 Caribbean pirates in the head every minute and a half.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he has proportions of a regular guy unless a regular guy, you know, works out all the time.
Yeah.
I was going to say a regular guy, like two of us, Robert, I'd say we're pretty regular, and I ain't looking at us thinking I'm Nathan Drake whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm Nathan Drake if he lets himself go for a while.
But I think that goes to show how far away, you know, game characters are from the norm, that you get someone like...
But here's the thing, though. Like, I think that Mirror's Edge definitely is changing that with Faith and her character design, especially from, you know, a female perspective.
Yeah.
Just the way she looks, you know, she's lean. She looks like she's a runner. She's dressed like one. Yeah.
So they went from like making the fantasy of
big booby girl.
They went from like heavy metal to
we'll see, like, if that actually
making the otaku Western fantasy of Asian chicks.
I was gonna say, I don't know that that'll hold though, because they did that in Beyond Good and Evil too, and
yeah, they did.
And
yeah.
No one gave a shit.
And well, also that game is selling like shit.
Yeah, well, and Mirror's Edge has been selling not so great either.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like,
say, just like Beyond Good and Evil. So I'm just saying, actually, maybe they're going to realize if we want Mirror's Edge 2 to sell, cup upgrade.
and then we'll get sales. Really? You think?
No, if they want Mirror's Edge 2 to sell, they ought to identify what was good about the idea in the first place. I mean, I just played through that game 2 weeks ago. And
it's the parkour and everything. That's
it's
the
coming
good
out
stuff.
Soon for PC.
It's not just
the combat's really just kind of throwaway. Who cares?
Although it's not just the combat. It's what they do with the parkour. It's like when you get up on the rooftops and you have these fairly simple lines to run that you can figure out where you're supposed to go without having to try and fail or without using the
stopping and looking
the look button a lot, where you can really feel like
a badass
somewhere. Yeah, and it's enjoyable. It's like a racing game. Then they take you in these little indoor places where they have you do all these, you know, in-depth platforming sections, like you're Mario or Prince
like Tomb Raider or something.
Yeah, and you're really cramped and you're in first person, so you're looking around confused. Your view is really narrow and it's hard to see where you're supposed to pick up the line.
So what you're saying is like, the open parts good,
wide
cramped
open spaces.
Parts bad.
Yeah. The indoor parts are just ridiculously complicated. It should be a much simpler game in general.
Now we need parkour through like
have
the
you
jungle.
Seen the, have you seen the video for their map pack, the racing map pack that they're releasing?
No.
It's exactly like what you're saying. It's a time trial map pack, but it's all super simplified. It's just geometric shapes floating in the atmosphere, and like the goal is to just get to the end using all the Mirror's Edge parkour moves.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it almost seems
as long as they leave that fucking story alone. Oh, man.
Like the cool lines.
That was so awesome.
The cool lines and stuff would be like instead of like what you're saying, the indoor stuff. It almost seems like it'd be cool to like do something like. Have you guys ever seen the Ong Bak? Have you guys ever seen?
Oh yeah, I love Ong Bak.
If you were doing stuff like that guy does, like running through the streets and having to like jump, like it's not quite parkour,
or,
but
like,
it's still like or but the way he still does like the crazy jumps on tables and stuff. Now it's not over rooftops, but it's still like traversing terrain in a way that is
or like when he does
human.
The splits under the truck.
Yeah, just stuff like that.
So what's the guy's name? Tony Jaa. We need a Tony Jaa type game with
but I don't want the fighting. Yeah, we don't need the fighting answer. Just keep it like doing Jackie Chan crazy stunts.
But Mirror's Edge should have been a game about a guy trying to get famous on YouTube.
like I'm going to scale this building and people are going to find out about me.
Yeah, that would have been. It would have been a lot better than Faith. You can't run away from everything.
So what you're saying is they should make the storyline like Skate, where it's like, you're becoming more famous. People are coming out to like take photos of you and stuff.
The
storyline in Mirror's Edge.
Like you read
blue.
The comment section on your video.
Yeah, exactly. You can watch your YouTube replays.
Would you tell listeners to give it a try on PC when it comes out?
Oh yeah, I mean I think it's a game that any serious gamer should play.
Yeah.
Because it's an important game.
Perhaps go out and buy so that they'll continue to make original IPs.
The evolution of the mechanics in it, I think. Like Robert just said, are important.
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing that, like, you know, I think I've said this probably two or three times, so I'm sorry for repeating myself, but like I'm a really big fan of movement in games and FPSs, and that's why I love Tribes. That's why, you know, I liked games like Action Half-Life and stuff like that. And Mirror's Edge like finally takes that concept and pushes it to its natural conclusion, or pushes the evolution forward. It's not really a conclusion.
Oh, but although we should say that you don't necessarily play this game like a FPS, right? I mean, you don't have to go around and like.
Well, they force you to fight.
Do they?
They force you to fight.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I no.
You can disarm everyone.
Yeah,
right.
That's
a pain in the ass.
Frustrating.
Yeah. They need to have a lot broader repertoire of disarm moves, I think.
Yeah.
That, like, where you can jump kick into somebody or slide kick into them and lead right into a disarm move if your timing is good.
To me, it feels like a game that didn't take playtesting very seriously. Like I refuse to believe that they sat a bunch of people down to play that game and
said don't use
like,
guns.
Oh, I love this part where I have to disarm the 8 guys with shotguns that kill me in 2 blasts.
Or they were so wrapped up in what their vision was they couldn't see past criticisms.
That's sort of there's some amazing brilliance in that game, and I'm sure the people making it were like, oh man, we're really like pushing this. This is like seriously innovative,
and they did
their own supply a little too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing was is that they were too shy about getting rid of the guns. You know, like,
really?
I really think that they had to include guns. Really? They had to let you shoot the other guys because otherwise they couldn't figure out, you know, how to sell the game, how to market the game or whatever.
And, well, just having that option, you mean?
Well, I think they should have just made Faith, you know, she doesn't use guns. She just uses some wicked kung fu on these guys.
But that is the case, right? I mean, they don't start you off with a pistol. You have to go out.
No, but there are times basically where you end up having to use
firearm. I'm not actually totally opposed to guns in the game. I think it could be cool if they actually managed to bring a good shooter to it while they were at it.
Mm. Well, the shooting was fine. I just didn't want to use it because, like, I've been doing that for, you know, 20 years.
I would say that the shooting was pretty subpar, in my opinion.
Like, really?
It was really... There was a very loose feel to it, and the sort of two bullets in your shotgun thing sort of limits you to what you could actually do when faced with a room full of guys.
Well, yeah, and to be fair, like, I did was, like, play with the guns a little bit and then reloaded because I wanted to get the achievement for not...
Oh, yeah.
For not using a gun.
I shot everyone because it was really boring to have to disarm everyone. Oh. Yeah.
But, well, there you go.
But did that ruin the gameplay for you at all, though? I mean, did it move it along a lot faster, or was it as enjoyable as it could have been?
Excruciatingly slow. That's the thing. Like, the game moves so fast, and then you're like, okay, stand still now and take care of these guys in this room.
Right.
It's like you've been on the merry-go-round over and over again. You're like, wee, 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 and someone stops it suddenly, and you're like, oh, I feel sick.
I played the 360 demo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of waiting to play it on PC. But
the thing
I got from the demo is, like, when you turn left or right or whatever, even that seems like, well, this is too slow. This slows me down too much. I want to be able to do this fast.
You mean there isn't an option to make the sensitivity higher?
That doesn't work so well for me on consoles. It might just be my problem. But, I mean, like, you know, you can get much kind of finer movement.
Oh, I see.
But
it should be better with the mouse, right?
Yeah. What the hell is that noise?
It's Milky. It's a disco party.
Our editor in chief is, he's
blasting
music
in the room next to ours.
Yeah. Unfortunately, soundproofing will never do anything against bass like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even soundproofing. All we've got is, like, you know, some foam up to keep the windows from echoing.
By the way, I wanted to mention that he does play one PC game all the time.
Milky?
Final Fantasy XI hardly counts as a PC game,
whatever,
in my opinion.
Don't say that to the people that like Final Fantasy XI.
I just did.
You mean has it on in the background at all times, no matter what he's doing?
He's always playing. Even
when he's not playing, he just has the game running. Anytime he wants to jump in, it's just there and ready.
Is that why whenever we shoot in his office for the one-up show, he's always looking at his screen instead of at the other people in the conversation?
Because he interacts with people in there, yeah.
It's like, I gotta deal with my guild. I don't got time for you.
That's not gaming, that's sickness.
Final Fantasy XI exists for what? Did they release that for 360? Or was
PS2?
No, it was on
the
360. PS2, 360, and PC.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah, and they all play together, right? Like, and that's one of the one few games where that happens.
And as much fun as people make of me for playing so much World of Warcraft, James Milky is 10 times more of an addict for Final Fantasy XI.
Wow.
And didn't he buy, like, the judge's helmet or whatever that thing?
No, he didn't buy it. I think they sent it to him.
Oh, did they? Okay, I thought he bought it.
Huge ass helmet in there. Anyways, so we should have a battle, like James Milky versus Ryan Scott. Let's see if WoW or Final Fantasy.
I think we ought to have a sound system battle.
Like, that's one of the, that's one of those battles where no one wins. Everyone's a loser.
Best MMO out there.
I think Milky wins by default. People do not win battles against James Milky.
Well, you're gonna throw the game to the boss,
huh?
You're just gonna throw it.
That's the
same. You're going to be the guy who goes play golf with your boss, and you're like, oh, I hit it in the tree.
You know, man, I suck.
I guess you won this round.
I will point out that I have been trying since the release of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo on Xbox Live to get him to play against me, to give me a challenge.
Yeah.
And he hasn't taken me up on
that yet. He hasn't accepted?
So. Am I the only person who thinks that game is really ugly?
Yeah. You can get off my podcast.
No, I think it's so ugly. Like,
why?
Like the bringing that same art style into HD, like the facial expressions look really bizarre to me. like the kind of art that people used to send EGM in the mail,
like on the envelope itself.
Yeah, like with like Street Fighter, so cool on the bottom.
You know? Wow.
And like the music is god awful.
You know what? That's why they included options for people to use the original sprites and the original music.
Yeah,
they've anticipated that.
But
some
you know,
people
the work
like
they did
things.
On the game went into the new game, and I just want to point out that work is hideous.
I think some of the backgrounds are a little weird.
Yeah,
but like the character sprites, I think mostly look pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I like about Capcom is that they actually take the time to listen to what their, you know, their fans have to say about certain titles. So when they were developing, you know, or you know, mentioned that they were coming out with that game that you like so much, they actually took criticism and, you know, ran with it.
For like the rebalancing and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a bunch of like pro players to help.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, with a game like Street Fighter, I mean, you have to get those people because that's your audience. I mean, this is not a game for the masses. It's a game for the few.
There's tons of people still play Street Fighter. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of people that I've played on Xbox Live.
Did they give it away on Ellen DeGeneres?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
They should.
Is that how you're going to decide whether a game's good or not? Or
no,
I only play nerd games. I don't play games for the masses. I don't play fucking Wii Fit. I'm just saying, like,
is that
not
for the masses or the
Yeah, Wii Fit is totally for the masses.
And I mean, like, in both sense.
You play Rock Band?
The masses and the masses.
That's for the masses?
Isn't that what we call casual?
It's for me more than the masses.
No, it's not.
Guitar Hero is more for the masses.
The masses are just copying me.
But no, Street Fighter, it looks good, and it's, you know, a lot of people play it. There's a lot of people who've been playing. Exactly. There's been a lot of people online who have been like, "Whoa, I haven't played this in, you know, like 10 years, but this is
awesome."
You know, no, I mean, I'm saying this as somebody who used to forgo lunch in order to have money to play Street Fighter
at the arcade.
Yeah.
I was right there.
I would come home after school and proceed to eat like 3 bowls of cereal because that's how much it took to support my weight, having not eaten lunch at school at all. And then I would bike over to the Stop and Go and play Street Fighter 2 constantly.
I never did get into the whole Street Fighter thing. Like, I'd be hanging out with my friends, and the only thing they ever wanted to do was go to 7-Eleven to play Street Fighter. I'd stand there and watch them play. I don't know. I just never got into it. I've never been much of a fighting game guy.
I remember the first time I ever saw it. I was going to see Terminator 2 with my mother. me and my mother were going to see Terminator 2.
That's a romantic mom and son date.
You know, those are the bizarre, awkward situations you have when you're raised by a single mother. Everything has the strange tint of, like, you are both son and husband. I think any single mom raised son can attest to this.
That was me.
Yeah. But I was walking by the arcade and I saw, you know, people playing that, and I was like, 6 buttons! Holy shit, that's the future! Like, I was totally blown away. Like, how could it have 6 buttons?
And your mom's like, don't say shit, and then she slapped your mouth.
Yeah, I definitely didn't say shit in front of my mom.
Oh man!
The first time that I played Street Fighter, I was like, okay, the best characters have to be M. Bison because he's the last boss, and Blanca because he's a monster. So, clearly, these are the best characters to choose.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out so well.
No.
Are you liking that cactus cooler?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I still think it needs more carbonation.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I was looking at BBC News today, and they...
You mean, like, right now, and your laptop that's open in your lap instead
right
of paying
now,
attention to the podcast?
I want
to
share it with everybody.
She's writing her review.
Yeah, that too. So, the title of the article is Spore at the Top of the Piracy Charts.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say fuck you.
Spore and oil tankers.
There's a piracy chart.
Spore is a game for the masses.
And they listed the top 10 pirated games of 2008. Should I read it to you guys?
Yeah,
I'm interested.
What are they? All right, and I'm going to guess here that almost all these have hardcore DRM, and they just and that's part of the reason they got so pirated.
Are we talking all PC games or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Spore.
Okay, yeah. Number one, Spore. Number two is The Sims 2.
DRM.
Three is Assassin's Creed.
Definitely DRM.
Four is Crysis.
Again.
Command and Conquer 3.
Yeah. EA always has some sort of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Six is Call of Duty 4.
I'm surprised that's not higher from all the things I've heard.
Mm. Seven is GTA San Andreas.
Oh, yeah.
Eight is Fallout 3. Nine is Far Cry 2. And 10 is Pro Evolution Soccer 2009. Look wants Pro Evolution
Look at how many
soccer.
Of those are Ubisoft games. And Ubisoft's always the one that puts like a...
You're looking at European...
I can't remember the name of that program on there, but they always have it.
That is true.
The one Securom?
Securom, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Sometimes I think the DRM argument is a real like excuse for people who have just dropped $3,000 on their computer not to spend a dime on software. Yeah.
But the thing is,
weren't going to buy the game anyway.
But the thing is that like there are games that don't have DRM, like Sins of Solar Empire.
True.
Or
not exactly a huge hit.
No, Sins of Solar Empire. Those guys made money hand over fist on that game. Over fist.
You know what this
are? Like they sold as many.
See, this is my hand going over my fist.
I never hear anyone talking about that game, and I've never seen it pop up on any charts.
It's the same, like with.
It's been huge worldwide.
Galactic Civilizations 2
didn't have any DRM.
It's the same deal. Like that was like the best selling game at Walmart for however many weeks straight.
Yeah.
And Sins of a Solar Empire, same company.
Yeah.
Other companies, Valve and Relic, both are also pretty opposed to DRM, you know, and they always manage to sell pretty well.
But
although,
Segway.
Although I got an interesting message from a one up from a listener on my in my one up inbox from Saturn 2888 about Steam.
That's my favorite year.
Yeah, and
that was when we finally came out of the depression.
Shit.
And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's really long, but he says basically Steam, you know, for the last 3 years has allowed you, if you have downloaded the game, a multiplayer game, to log on your account on multiple computers so that you can play with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, and he says the Steam service now has super DRM. There's a lockdown where if you log into one machine on one computer, even if you're playing a game, you're immediately disconnected and kicked out of your game without being able to save.
Well,
if another machine is logged on with your account.
Okay. I don't see how that's like such a big deal.
Why is that a problem?
But what he's saying is they changed it.
I never even knew that's how you used to be able to log on to a multiplayer game specifically with multiple accounts.
Yeah.
With multiple computers.
Oh. Loophole. Well,
so, I don't know. I guess I never have tried that, so it's never even occurred to me.
I mean, usually when you have, a physical copy of a multiplayer game, you'll just swap the disc.
Yeah, It's still, in my opinion, though, Steam is, still the best solution for, the fact of the matter that I here have all the games downloaded at work, and then at home I also have it, and then it's also all on my roommate's computer, so anytime one of us can be using that computer, and I think it was like Red Alert. I like install or like even Sports. Like I installed on one computer. And it's like you have two more installs of this, and I'm like, awesome.
Right. Yeah,
of exactly. A game I just bought. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah. I got the impression he was having other problems with it because he was talking about trying to play like different games on his Steam account. Like one person, like his sister, trying to play one game on another computer on his Steam account while he's trying to play another game on another computer on his Steam account. But I couldn't quite follow it. And this is Kevin Godiani, not a Saturn whatever. I mean, we have his real name. We know who you are, Kevin. but yeah, I haven't really heard much other complaining about this lately, but it's possible that, you know, something has changed. And whenever people have the right to use a game in multiple systems and then they take it away, somebody's going to get mad, you know. Obviously somebody was using it using it under his rights, and he had had his rights taken away, and welcome to the future.
Well, on contrary,
it is scary.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, I think what's happening is the way that we buy and value games is changing. It used to be, you know, you bought a cartridge or a disc, and you owned the game. You could sell it to someone. It would have value as a trade-in. You would have it forever. It's changing more to a system more along the lines of software and a computer, where you're purchasing a license to use a game in the ways that the publisher has prescribed for you to use the game. You
That's
know?
Certainly how it is with MMOs. I mean,
well, yeah. If you. Even games, you know, back then, even like with floppy disks and stuff, if you in the manuals, it basically said you are purchasing this is you are licensed to use this software.
Yeah,
you know, and except, it's like quite literal now.
Yeah, except I think that this is also coming to console games, and console gamers have been used to this idea for a long time. You know, like they're coming from like the cartridge days when a game was actually a physical object,
right?
Especially with downloadable games.
Yeah, yeah, and downloadable games, or you look at things like Gears of War 2. Which had the, you know, the multiplayer maps that you could only download with a code that came in a brand new retail copy. It's single user content. You can't. That's not transferable to a second buyer. You can't even at this moment download it.
Don't you think though that that's just to fuck over the used games market? Like they just want to stop GameStop from selling used copies of Gears of War 2.
Yeah, they just want to stop you from having any value to your games after the fact. Like, people right now assume that when they buy a game at GameStop, they have a certain amount of trade-in value that they can use to buy more games. And I think, you know, people are going to be significantly upset when challenges are made.
That slowly kill trade-in?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like having the freedom to do with my games what I want. If I'm going to pay $60 for them, I want to be able to, you know, sell them back for some money, do whatever I want with them, you know, take them to a friend's house, give them away, whatever, you know?
Yeah, but there's that argument with, like, the used games market and that how that's, like, having a negative impact on development and stuff. And
yeah.
Publishers, willingness to, you know, release new IPs. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's just I was thinking, you know, it could get turned around, though, and go in a more positive direction. I mean, music DRM is a huge problem. But then you have, like, free markets. Like, Amazon doesn't have DRM on there. And I've even heard that iTunes is slowly, like, trying to negotiate to get rid of DRM. I'm just saying, like, it could.
Really?
It could, yeah. It could turn out that maybe there's like a turn of events where people decide that this really is stupid. I mean,
yeah.
There are some pretty big name publishers out there kind of like pushing for that anyways, realizing that it kind of doesn't make sense. Yeah. I don't know.
When it comes down to it, to me, as things, as all things media become digital, and they lose their physical properties, you know, like where it doesn't matter, you know, you've bought something, but it's really not there. It's ones
it's
and
not
zeros.
Tangible.
I have a hard time imagining a future in which people are charged by the byte for files of music, movies, or games. I think it's going to have to be some sort of utility. You know, it's more like paying your water bill than.
To some extent, I mean, it still is like that. Even with internet, you pay for a certain amount of bandwidth per month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like even me and my roommate have actually been having to watch it because he streams movies, I download games on Steam, and it's like, whoa, we're like reaching our internet limit. Like, as ridiculous as that sounds.
You were
talking about that the other day, weren't you?
No, I was talking about how I live in an apartment with eight people, and the internet connection is under my name. So if you have like two or three people that I have told multiple times not to torrent, if they start torrenting stuff, then it's like, oh, look at this major fucking pirate at this address who's like torrenting all these things at the same time, and it comes down on me. So that's what happens at my place.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah. So it's like I've been
take a sledgehammer to their wireless.
Yeah, exactly. we have a firm no torrenting place at my apartment. One of my roommates is like, well, maybe you should just put the internet connection in my name. And I'm like, well, that doesn't solve the problem. I mean, because
it does for you, man.
It does for me, but it doesn't solve the problem when my internet connection gets cut off.
That's true.
Has that happened?
No, it hasn't happened yet. Unfortunately, I have a very kind ISP who has so far just threatened me.
I know people that shit's happened to, though, in real life. I remember there was a girl in my dorm in UC Davis who got like all of us pirated music. I mean, first off, like, you know, this was like when, like,
Napster days.
Napster.
This was Napster, yeah. And I just got into college, and I remember, you know, this is everyone's first experience with like a T1 connection.
Right.
So as soon as we got to college, everyone was like, I can download whole albums in minutes.
Porno's so fast.
Exactly. So it was like, so now everyone's downloading shit. And I remember they just targeted like one like really, really super quiet Asian girl on our floor at random.
Aww.
She got her internet cut off for her dorm room for the whole rest of the year.
Wow.
That's terrible.
And it was like after that, everyone was like,
I know, I remember that. And then like Metallica was after you, you know. Oh my God, that was crazy days.
God,
I don't know. I mean,
do you even buy digital music, or are you still like I want a CD for my shelf sort of guy?
I am a weirdo, and I tend to buy vinyl.
I like vinyl sometimes.
I buy vinyl.
Why is that? That's not weird
at
all.
Especially like nowadays, that a lot of labels will give you download codes so that you can download MP3s.
Yes, that is awesome.
Because I like to have.
Yep, that is awesome.
But I have gone to the trouble. I have this sort of fetish for jazz records, and I will go to the trouble of like buying my jazz on vinyl and then recording it.
You actually have a thing to go out to? Like,
yeah. Well, I have, you know, I have my music studio, and it has all the digital analog equipment, and I just plug it in and record
MP3s.
It's a pain in the ass, though. Like, it's so stupid. Like, yeah, it takes up so much time.
But there is something to be said. I can understand.
Like, I hear my record. That's where that skip is. Whoever, you know, did that. Like, I don't know. I like things that feel like they came from the time that they originated in. Like, I like.
Even though I'm sure you still buy new vinyls as well.
Yeah, I do. And I buy CDs. I'm not like against CDs. I like, but I don't buy. I don't buy iTunes. I will buy Amazon because at least like
it's DRM free.
Yeah, that and like they'll sell albums for like $4, which if you ask me is about the right price for some MP3s.
Yeah.
Like MP3s are pretty worthless unless you took the time to record your records and separate them into.
Right, and you don't even get the liner notes or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, and they're just sitting there on your hard drive, you know, and especially like iTunes has the worst quality MP3s.
Like, I want to rant about Apple and iTunes and iPods and all that. Okay, so I know like a lot of people love iTunes and, you know, they have their iPods filled with all their songs and stuff, but here's what I hate. So I have a PowerBook Mac, and I also have a desktop at home, and I can't interchange using my iPod with both. And it just really pisses me off. So, like, if I have music on my laptop and I want to put it on my iPod, I gotta like clear everything out, put in my notebook library. But then if I want to go back to PC, I can't.
Yeah, and there are ways around that, and I'm sure you'll get some messages from listeners telling you the ways around it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not like built into the process by default, and that's I agree, that's bullshit.
I think
and
it's like, a bitch.
And I think that like, do you think? So you see things like Nine Inch Nails and Radiohead going independent and putting music for free online, but then also selling premium versions. You know, like you can buy the Nine Inch Nails box set, which has all this extra stuff in it.
Yeah.
But you can also get the free version of the song. So, like, I'm wondering if, you know, maybe games, you know, more games would
like, you mean like smaller developers
model.
Or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah, be like, let's say Stardock wants to do Sins 2 or something like that, and they say, okay, well, we're going to give you the game for, like, you know, $6 or something like that, but or $10, I don't know, whatever. But then we want people who are actually fans of this game to pay a premium price for some kind of, like, awesome package deal
I'm
thing.
I'm almost positive that Stardock through Impulse already actually does that, where you can pay like $30 if you want the game just as a digital thing, or you can pay $50, download it digitally, and they'll send you a box copy.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I'm talking about like.
I know. I'm just saying
things too,
people are experimenting, but I think when it comes to games, like, I don't know, people are so scared because there's so many people. I guess maybe it's easier for a band, like a five people, to make that sort of decision or something than it is for like
a publisher,
studio to like put their.
And it sure is easy for, you know, Radiohead or
who's already
or Nine Inch Nails, yeah,
to make their living doing that. But you couldn't exactly be nobody and put your files up for free and expect to get anywhere. You know, just based on the fact that you've given your music
away. Well, it depends on what you mean by anywhere. I mean, like, is your goal to make enough money so that you can keep doing your music or keep doing your art? Or is your goal to, like, become, like, wildly successful?
I think just to get people to listen is really difficult. And I say that as someone, you know, trying. We just finished our album this week.
When are you having vinyls pressed?
Yeah.
Next year is the idea.
Pimp your band.
Pimp My Band. I think a lot of GFW listeners know.
Because they always post it in GAF.
Yeah. And,
oh, that's true.
And sometimes I think the only people who ever listen to our music are GFW.
Like after a GFW podcast comes out, you got check your MySpace and it's like 200 listens today.
Well, just this week, like I was trying to figure out why we'd been getting like 500 plays a day on MySpace all of a sudden, and I would Google the name and like not find any mention online. Mm-hmm. Like, where is this traffic coming from? And I figured out it was because I was doing this reviews symposium thing with Sean.
Yes.
And he has a blog post where he names everyone who's participating and puts their website, and everyone else has like a gaming website, and he just put my MySpace page. So we're getting all these plays, and I'd get like friends requests from people that are like, GFW forever! Who is this person? Why did they come now?
Sean Elliott to pimp your band. Just get him to Twitter it every time you like put up a new song.
What's the band called?
The band is called I Come to Shanghai.
I Come to Shanghai.
I Come to Shanghai.
And what's the album called?
It's with a name like I Come to Shanghai, you don't name your first album.
It's just self-titled.
Self-titled. And you don't want to confuse people.
And will people be able to buy your album, like off your MySpace? Like there will be a button.
I don't know about MySpace. I don't really like MySpace very much. But
I'm not saying off of MySpace. I'm saying like they could make like it'll be like a button to make like a PayPal purchase from Robert Ashley.
Yeah, I mean we've actually toyed around with the idea of giving of doing a giveaway MP3 site where we would like take people's email and address information so we could have sort of a list of people that we know have been interested and then give them access to the files and then selling vinyl if people just want to buy the nice thing. But it's kind of – we're debating it because right now, I don't know, it's tough if you want to – if you – what you're making this face.
It's because Milky's starting up again.
Okay. Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy.
Oh, shit.
That's our new theme song for LAN Party.
Anyway, I think sometimes it's tough to like throw your work out there onto the internet because it just gets lost in this wash of music. There's just so much music that you can pick up for free, and on some level, when you give it away, it gives people the impression that it's not worth listening to. Mm-hmm. Like if you're giving it away, it must not be valuable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. But I don't know. We're playing around with it. But anyway.
Anyways, so speaking of MySpace and Facebook and all that, listeners have been, you know, asking me for all of your Facebook pages and all that, and I haven't responded to anything, but just want to know how you guys felt about adding, like, you know, listeners to
My 1UP profile is my public profile. My Facebook is for private. Friends that I know in real life, friends and family that I know in real life only, because, like, I'm linked to a lot of different people. There's a lot of personal information that goes around, and, like, I don't know what all of my friends want to keep private, so it's better for me just to do it that way.
I kind of feel the exact same way. On my 1UP profile, I'll add whoever. Yep. My Steam profile, I'll add whoever, but my, like, MySpace, Facebook, and my Xbox Live, I'm a little more picky. Yeah, because Xbox Live, you only have 100 people.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, PSN.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's, like, actually just around people here in the office and real-life friends, I already have, like, 60 of those slots taken up, and it's, like, I like to keep a cushion. I would fill it up fast if I just took whoever.
There's a limit on Steam, too.
So I don't want people to think I'm just being a jerk to them by not accepting your friend request. It's just because I don't want to fill up my list.
I actually always get friends requests from people, I think because we're friends.
Friend of a friend.
Yeah, and like Sean.
Because of me.
Not just you, but like Sean and Jeff also take a lot of GFW listeners. Yeah. And I usually try to write people back and say why I don't do that. But it's because I like not only do I have friends, but I have like family, like young family.
Yeah.
Nieces and nephews and stuff. And I know what GFW listeners talk about. I know the kind of shit that I say. I don't want my young family members to find out all my internet exploits. Basically, I keep Facebook private, same thing with Anthony, like Steam or 1UP. I know it's kind of lame because it's like I'm not very active on it, but to anyone who ever tried to Facebook friend me, I'm not active on Facebook either. I don't do shit there. I just look at other people's stuff. I'm like such a voyeur.
I check my messages and I walk away. Like I have 80 friends requests waiting or something, and I'm just like, meh.
The only Web 2.0 thing that I've ever actually gotten into and use regularly is Twitter. Like Facebook, like I'll go on there every now and then. It looks like I'm active on Facebook because it's hooked up to my Twitter. So every time I Twitter, it just changes my status on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan Scott doesn't ever add anyone or anything like that because he doesn't participate in social networking.
Anything at all.
I do not have a Facebook account.
But if you find him on WoW.
Ryan only has a 1UP profile because he has to for review purposes.
I have a MySpace account specifically. Like, I've never done anything to it. I just have it so I can log in to view other people's things.
Really? How come you don't add me?
You have it so you can lurk people? That's what you're saying?
I guess.
He's a lurker.
You know, 1UP, you know, you can easily reach me there. I try to look at all my messages and reply to people. And, and anybody who asks for my Xbox Live username, I'll usually give it to them.
Or they could send a Wonder Bread signal out into the sky, and that'll call you too.
Sending cactus.
We need white bread.
Sending cactus cooler is a sure way into Ryan's heart.
Yeah, it is. Aww.
I do think we live in this time where, you know, if you're going to be like making stuff, like be that music or content on a video game website or whatever, people sort of expect to be able to reach you and talk to you if they want to, and I think that's fine. I mean, I always like to write people back. Like the other day, some LAN party listener wrote me on 1UP asking me, like, they had back problems. They asked me what I did about my back problem. I think I wrote an 800-word response about various back problem
I've had a lot of people asking me about like my final PC specs and everything, and so I'm going to do a blog post about that today or tomorrow.
That'd be cool.
And like actually put up, you know, what I put together and how you know, how I did it. And that actually reminds me, I wanted like Left 4 Dead, which I finally played because I got my PC working.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
First of all, it's fucking amazing, and I love it on PC. I feel so like precise and amazing using a mouse and keyboard, but I'm having a problem where it's like it does that sort of Source Engine stutter load thing, you know, and I haven't seen in a really long time, but it's happening to me all the time in Left 4 Dead, and I don't know if it's lag or if it's my system.
Users should help Matt figure out and diagnose this problem. To me, it seems like it might be something to do with maybe a firewall connection to the external servers that they have set up for that game. Could be. I don't know.
See, I thought maybe that might be it. I thought it might be actually my Windows Defender, because it popped up and it said blocking Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
And I told it to unblock or whatever. So I'm not sure where that issue is coming from, but it's annoying, especially when you're in like multiplayer and you know, you're a boomer and you're walking around real slow and everything, and suddenly you wake up and you're dead.
You got shot.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, I'm dying to play that. I played Left 4 Dead on PC one day, the first day it came out. And ever since then, I've had my Steam problem, which I don't think users are aware of. And I don't want to bitch too much because I've been getting someone to look into it for me in a way that I'm sure that like the average Steam user doesn't get any attention like that.
Oh, bummer.
But I take it that me and like several, maybe as many as like 100.
Jason Wilson's been having the same problem.
Because we've all been sort of bitching about it on this forum on Steam. But it's basically like a problem that connects and disconnects from Steam like every 20 seconds. And so you can't play Left 4 Dead with people.
Right.
It's really frustrating, and no one seems to be able to figure it out. But I mean, I guess
there's no explanation at all.
Is that why you haven't confirmed my friend request?
I guess not yet. They've had me change accounts once already, and hopefully I'll get to go back to my old account that's where all my LAN party listener friends are.
But
it's, I don't know. It seems to be something that happened when they updated after Left 4 Dead, possibly with like the Steam cloud stuff.
Thing. Yeah.
But it seems to only affect a few people.
That's really bizarre.
Should we,
Well, I got a couple of things I want to share.
All right, let's do those quick because we should probably wrap it up.
Really? All right.
It's already 1 o'clock.
Well, yesterday, well, now for us, but for listeners 2 days ago, on December 9th, it was the 40th anniversary for the computer mouse. Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah, in 1968, his name is Douglas Engelbart, first used a mouse to demonstrate, you know, how...
A headshot.
yes, exactly. But yeah,
basically, this device allows you to get a headshot. Sorry, I'm eating.
You're so
I had one of those bourbon things. They do taste like bourbon.
Oh,
yeah.
And
it's good.
something random and off topic and crazy, but I thought people would love hearing about it. So apparently there's some Chinese girl making out with her boyfriend in the Zhuhai province or something, Guangdong province, I don't even know, in China. And they call this article the Kiss of Death, D-E-A-F, because apparently her and her boyfriend were kissing so passionately that...
her eardrums exploded?
Yeah, it reduced the pressure in the mouth, pulled the eardrum out, and caused the breakdown of the ear, which means that she is now deaf in one ear.
Oh my god, that's horrible.
Do you even think that's possible?
Jesus, that's like fucking horror movie shit.
I've done some pretty intense making out, and if I were to burst a girl's eardrum, I'd be adding that to my fucking resume.
Okay, okay, I gotta say, I guess crazy? What you have to have, like, both people must have, like, their, like, must have had been, had, like, congestion or something. Had their noses
snubbed up. Yeah.
For the pressure not be relieved from their noses. Man, that's so crazy.
That's insane.
It was like he was kissing her and blowing into her mouth and had nowhere to go or something.
No, it sounded like it was a suction thing, though.
I have no idea. Actually, okay, we can make fun of this girl because she's expected to regain her full hearing within about 2 months.
Oh, because we couldn't make fun of her if she was going to be deaf for life.
Well, I couldn't. My conscience couldn't, but shit.
You were technically not allowed to make fun of her if it was going to be a permanent.
Well, you have to wait 10 years or something like that, and then it becomes funny.
Yeah, exactly.
If you guys did that to a girl, how would you feel?
I feel terrible, but knowing she's going to get her hearing back later, I'd hope it becomes something we could laugh about. But then it would probably screw things up. Like, the next time I get a kiss her, she's like, I'm not going to burst your fucking eardrum.
Can you please not suck my eardrums out? That would be nice.
I don't know. Maybe I'd have to talk her into getting a cheek piercing or something so we can let pressure out when needed.
Something tells me that the story just isn't right. Like, that they tried to lie about it. Like, oh, we were just making out when, in fact, they were trying out, like, ear canal sex or something.
Oh, shit.
Or they were, like, putting their mouth on, like, an air compressor hose or something. Just being like, oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Something horrible happened.
It does have the ring of untruth.
Yeah.
It's like something you read about on Snopes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was on BBC News, dude.
All right. So are we going to wrap this up?
I think so.
Now, on that note.
Yep.
All of us have important...
All right, everybody, protect your ears for next week so that you can listen to our podcast.
Be safe when you guys are kissing out there.
Or don't. I want to see this repeated so I know it's not a lie.
All right.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.